89.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz. Good morning. It's Wednesday.
And I don't think it's right. I think it's wrong. I think the government should step in and conscript it, make cards out, fingerprint everybody, picture them, and then keep it that way, because this country is the only country that lets in all the refuse that they possibly can get along with the good people. If the people of the United States had better wake up before they have their whole little kit and caboodle go down the drain. Bread is $1.19 a loaf, and the people in this country are tired of paying for the other people that are coming in here and working. We feel sorry, we send money, we help them, but we don't want any more of those aliens, period.
You guys stand back. How many were shooting up?
Boomer 1 to Boomer 2, standing by on Q1. 2 5-inch flag shell.
Okay. On the first two.
R1.
Bombs bursting in air. The bombs bursting in air.
Bonga.
And the rockets' red glare.
Bonga.
I beg your pardon.
Bonga song.
I beg your pardon.
Call that a song.
Well known, vulgar song.
The bombs bursting in air.
I beg your pardon.
And the rockets, red glare.
Vulgar
the
song.
The intense patriotism surging across our country, carrying the national anthem to new and different heights.
Targeting
all. All the way to the top of the music charts.
Vulgar song.
Call that a song.
I am an American.
You're in specimen.
Listen to my words.
Bombs,
rockets,
bombs,
bombs.
Here's
the
goal. Before you even start, I am an American.
I will escort you to the toilet to observe the
cafe
of urine.
Two, three,
four.
All he tried to do is
obfuscate
the confused.
I am an American.
The bombs, bursting in
the air. Responsible for all this time.
I'm a red man.
Down for like a screen door. Tail caught in a screen door.
I beg your pardon. Are you dissatisfied?
How many of you out there think this country's a democracy?
Screen caught in a screen door.
Well, no, it wasn't mentioned somehow sober.
Yeah. Screen door.
Or is it really more of a one-party state masquerading as a two-party state?
Oh, yeah.
The Democrats are on the inside what the Republicans are on the outside. Each having almost identical financial backers to grease all the appropriate orifices and holes. So maybe it is no surprise that Ron Brown, head of the Democratic National Committee, and a Jesse Jackson protege, has announced a full Democratic Party endorsement for Bush's war against Saddam Hussein. Did you vote for the Pentagon? Did you vote for Wall Street?
No.
Did you vote for a nuclear arms race?
No.
Did you vote for the CIA?
No.
Ever try reading the Bill of Rights to a cop? People didn't vote for Star Wars. People didn't vote for drug wars. No one voted for acid rain. No one voted for being homeless. Hardly anybody in this country votes at all anymore. Meanwhile, people in places like China and South Africa are out there dying just for the right to vote. But in America, people take it for granted, and they just pout and they stay home, figuring their wishes aren't respected anyway. They don't make people like the popular myth of JFK anymore. They don't make people like Martin Luther King anymore. And if they did, the cops would just kill them anyway. So why bother? Doesn't matter. As the spray paint on the wall so often says, if voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal. After all, if the will of the majority of the eligible or even the registered voters in this country were really respected, guess who'd be president right now? Nobody!
Yeah!
Nobody! No one would be president. No one would be senator. No one would be governor. Probably no one for DA or mayor either. The White House would be occupied by nobody. Except maybe a few homeless people tired of freezing across the street. Capitol Hill would be accountable to nobody. Is that such a radical change? None of the above came in second for senator in the Republican primary in Nevada last June. And it seems to me there's a similar reason why dead people keep winning local elections. How many of you out there pay taxes? Confess. I pay taxes. I confess. And the only reason I pay taxes is out of fear of getting busted for not paying taxes. But I would gladly pay those taxes, and maybe quite a bit more when I could, if I knew that money was being used for real needs of real people. And I went on vote strike for years myself, but I got talked back into it for this reason: local ballot initiatives. State ballot initiatives, like yes or no on rent control, yes or no on domestic partners, yes or no on pollution control, things that we can decide for ourselves because the people we put in power are too chicken to do it on their own. Urban renewal and youth centers instead of drug wars and Nazis with guns and boot camps. And keeping Bible-thumping bigots from sneaking onto your local school boards. And who can deny how delicious it tastes to vote down another sports stadium? And just imagine what could happen if there was a spot for every office on every ballot where you could check off none of the above. And if none of the above came in first, they would have to have a special election like they do when a congressman dies or resigns or something, and only new candidates could run instead of the bozos who got rejected the first time. Think of the possibilities. We already vote yes or no on judges. Would you think Rehnquist and his creepy crew would be so sadistic towards our daily lives if we got to vote yes or no on them every 4 years? In a little-known Gallup poll in the 1988 election, 30% of the people that actually voted said they would have voted no confidence on both Bush and Dukakis if there'd been a place on the ballot to do that. And guess how many people in a CBS exit poll said they were, quote, dissatisfied with existing nominees? 64%. So this is not such an unpopular idea. The last Soviet Union elections were more democratic than ours. Instead of picking the lesser of two evils, having to choose between Feinstein and Wilson for governor and then running to the nearest toilet, people voted by crossing off all the candidates they reject. So you could even vote out people running unopposed. And no election was valid if less than half the people voted. The result? Out of 1,500 races for their Congress of People's Deputies, nearly 200 had to be rerun. But just like over there, getting rid of the crooks and turning things around for real will probably require a revolution. Yeah! Let's hear it for revolution! The kind of revolution that the people of Romania, Czechoslovakia, and Nicaragua thought was impossible until they actually went out and did it. The kind that will only happen over here when more people realize that overthrowing the rich is not just in our own best interest, it's a hell of a lot of fun. Yeah! In the meantime, it's not a bad idea to pay attention and to react to those local ballot propositions in your own backyard before someone else does it for you. And maybe start getting those petitions together to make no confidence, None of the above, a choice on every ballot for every office in the country.
Hey, you know, this person disagrees with me, you know, she doesn't like what I do, I'm going to get a lot of flack, and that's just how it is because I'm out there, and I think it's great to form personal relationships with the people that it's the most real thing to do is to take what people say personally, to really consider it and react to it personally, which takes a great deal of energy, but it may in the end be the most fruitful in a certain sense.
Well, what I'm talking about is to make my I have certain political aspirations for the politics of this, for our world, you understand? Mm-hmm. And I take it all personally. I want to make it personally. I think we should take politics personally, you know. So when I meet someone there are two ways to answer back to something I have to say. The usual number of a lot of people is to attack the messenger and shoot them dead and ignore the message, right? And the other is to attack the message, you know, or do both. So it's like on the side of them attacking me personally, there's no need for me ever to respond to that, because that whatever they say about me is an idea that they have in their mind. Mm-hmm. It's an idea of me they have in their mind. It's not an idea of me that I have in my mind. So I don't worry about it. That's something to rot their own brain, not mine. If they attack my politics, then they attack me, or not my politics, but the political aspirations I have, then I work to answer them on that level. On the other level, there's no need to answer them except to point out that their idea of me is their problem, not mine.
That's good. I try to do the same thing. When I'm attacked, Robert Norris did this, Robert Norris did that, I tend to say, well, let's discuss what the issue is. I not even get into, you know, their view of me. But the problem tends to become confused or muddied, for instance, when my actions are attacked as expression of my personal ego or something. For instance, when I'll come to meetings that some people have closed off because I feel that it's important to go to those meetings. This happened in 1990 and resulted in a split in the homeless movement. Well, I don't think my attending those meetings resulted in a split. I think the processes of the liberals who were doing these meetings tried to co-opt the scene and did effectively do that. But I was accused of, you know, creating problems, and if only I could not come to those meetings. And of course, the response has to be, well, what is best for the, you know, the rights that we want to secure.
All right. Let me go back and amend that somewhat. It may have sounded as if I had some sort of absolutist position, so that anybody could whatever anybody said about me or the way I did things, I would discount. But I'm like working on me, so when someone says something about my actions, I want to take what they say personally and take a look at it personally and see where I stand in my relation to what they've said. You understand?
Uh-huh.
So I'd like to amend my position on that to that degree. I'm working on me, or I'm trying to work on me.
Sure.
And where I'm at.
Right.
This is going to be too long of a phone call for me. I'm gonna let it go right now.
You better go work on yourself, John.
Huh?
You better go work on yourself.
On the wall or off the wall. Indeed. Which one?
Do you have any, by the way, any messages while I have you on the line about rights of people incarcerated by the mental health or mental illness system, or whatever you want to call it, the psychiatric scene? Any upcoming demonstrations?
Well, I was informed that there's going to be a protest in Sacramento about the possibility of cuts in supplemental security income levels by the state. The state pays a portion, and the federal government pays a portion, and likely the legislature will cut SSI. SSI is for both physically and so-called mentally disabled people. The person who called me asked me, informed me about it, and asked me if I'd like to go. I'd forgotten the date, and I didn't decline at the time, but I had misgivings about it, and since then I've formulated my position on it, and this is what I have to say. I won't go there to protest cuts in SSI. I will go there to demand stations of any kind, a living income that the government would simply send out the checks and get rid of the bureaucratic monstrosity that they've created to abuse us and oppress us with their means testing and their damn forms and everything that people have to fill out, and then the abuse you get when you go there and so forth. So I won't go there to protest cuts in SSI. I will go there to demand, if there were demonstration work, to demand a living wage, an income. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's a powerful book in the library titled The Tyranny of Kindness. I've forgotten the name of the author, but if people would read that book, they would discover how oppressive the whole welfare system is. We need to get rid of it entirely and just take the money and give us all, we should all have, including the Rockefellers and the DuPonts and all the owner class wealthies, they can have a guaranteed income too.
Now they already do, actually.
Oh, no, wait. Well, no, we won't even means test them. If they want to walk in and get their, as it were, $1,000 a month.
So you're suggesting that people well, not be mean-spirited.
Right, we'll welcome them, but we need to redistribute the wealth of this nation. The workers have created it, these owner-investor class leeches who blood-suck us all are of no account to anybody for anything. And
let me ask you, John.
Right.
If people want to go up to this thing, do you have a suggested number they call if they want to carpool? Or?
No, because I don't want to promote it. I want people to do what they want to do, of course, but I'm not going to further support this effort. I'm opposed to it on the face because it divides us.
Right.
It effectively mobilizes a certain group of people to go to Sacramento
who are perceived as special interest
to demand this special
dispensation.
Right, dispensation on the part of this. This bought and paid for government up there. We have no real, we all should be doing
right.
is demanding
universal.
As the Food Not Bombs and Homes Not Jails people are doing, as we know, as you've reported on, as Kim and Robert Florey and all have reported on, we should be demanding, understand. Our rights, and one of our rights, our basic right, is to live, and in order to live, we need food, clothing, and a place to live that's not just a damn shelter.
Right, I got you.
Right. Well,
let me ask you this, John. You, for a time, you worked with Madhouse. You had a group called Madhouse Exit, right?
Oh, I'd rather not get into that. I'm going to do a show. I'm going to try to do my number on Wednesday, 2 to 3.
Oh, good. So people want to... To concern
yeah, I didn't call in to promote me or get in off into this. I appreciate.
What's the name of that show?
I'll let them know when they get there.
That is from 2 to 3 on Wednesday coming up.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Possibly on 2 to 3 on Wednesday.
Prospectively.
Well, that's a great
anyway,
show.
Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate your calling in. It's getting pretty lonely here in the studio, so.
Well.
Thank you very much.
Well, okay. Thanks, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Take it personally, too.
I definitely do.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was activist John Stewart, who's one of the more modest men in our community, but also one of the more eloquent, and I know he always writhes and wriggles when I commend him, but that's tough. I hope he takes it personally, too. Apparently he has a show, maybe, from 2 to 3 on Wednesday, which I encourage people who are interested in the topics we raise on this show to call, because I don't really do much justice to... For example, people incarcerated in psychiatric institutions. I don't know if John's going to cover this stuff, but he's been quite eloquent and knowledgeable on it in the past, and I perhaps if we pressure him, he'll give us some information, or perhaps he won't. Perhaps he'll take it personally. I don't know. Well, listen, you all should take it personally out there, and I want you to give me a personal call here at 427-3772 at Free Radio Santa Cruz. You are indeed listening to Free Radio, and we're on 89.3 FM, and I'll again push what I pushed at the beginning of the hour. Those people interested in securing justice for Linda Edwards, who was raped, battered, and assaulted the evening before she died in the Hill Haven
rest home on June 3rd, June 2nd and June 3rd, give a call to the district attorney and to the sheriff. And the sheriff's office, is again, still seems to be sitting on the investigation, is 454-2311, and the district attorney's office is 454-2400. And as I said, I'm going to try to get a fact sheet out on this, but you don't really need a lot of facts to ask about how the investigation is going. Because the more people who call in sheer numbers, the more they'll be aware that there is public concern. You know, there's no need to be abusive or rude. Just, you know, say what's happening. I understand this that she was, woman was in a position to give no consent in a near coma, and some creep comes in and harasses her for 12 hours, and assaults her, touches her, rapes her, and, you know, I got some flack in the last show for using the word rape and kind of fudging around with it. The problem I was having is that for some people, rape means one thing. For others, it means another. Maybe we're talking about a gender-based difference around what the word rape means. But destroying someone's ability to live the last day of their life and putting them in fear and terror and touching them without their permission and whatever you call it deserves some kind of legal sanction, and particularly, it seems to be this may have been a pattern in this man's life at other times. It's hard to tell. It's hard for me to tell, or maybe not hard for others to tell, but in this case isn't too hard to tell. It's pretty obvious and deserves public attention. It certainly at least deserves district attorney attention and deserves sheriff's attention and deserves your attention. You should give a call to those numbers. Again, sheriff's office, 454-2311, DA's office, 454-2400. They're calling about the Linda Edwards case. And I'm looking to see if I've left anything out here. I've got a whole bunch of minuscule notes. I was talking about the Police Review Board, which there's a regular meeting the second Monday of July, which I guess would be a week from today. It happens at 5 o'clock at City Hall. And it's... I don't know how useful it is. I guess it's useful for people to come to these meetings. Who knows? At the very least, you'll meet other activists in the audience. That often has been more productive when I go to city council meetings and they ignore me. But the Civilian Police Review Board actually is a somewhat more accessible group. Their problem is that they are hamstrung and bullied and kowtow and they kowtow to pressures from the Police Officers Association and the city attorney, who's issuing opinions that are helpful for the police department rather than for the citizenry in general, and the mandate of the city council to prosecute, or instance, I should say, to investigate independently instances of police abuse, which is the reason this board was formed, and what unfortunately it is not really doing right now with any to my satisfaction. Now, I talked to, as I said, John Malkin, who's one of the Police Review Board commissioners. And you, by the way, can call the Police Review Board anytime you want to get information. You can contact these individual members and talk to them as well. You want information, and they're holding subcommittee meetings on how to on sort of different procedures that the Police Review Board is doing. The number to call, the main number, is 429-3262 for the Civilian Police Review Board. And again, its hours are 9 to 1 Monday through Thursday, and its office is 915 Cedar Street. And I found they're very helpful to me in terms of making copies of this document or that when I go in. Of course, I'm kind of a perennial gadfly there, so they make some special effort to be helpful to me. But I would encourage you to go in, and if you have any problems with the police department, ranging from rudeness to homicide, you know, I mean, it's important that the police, that this stuff get on the record. I don't think that this review board is going to do shit about it, frankly. But if it starts getting recorded, then it serves as a basis for some kind of future significant action, is my feeling. And it also documents the record and makes the next egregious abuse easier to pursue. That's the theory behind it. Not in any way supporting them as some kind of wonderful group. I'm saying come next Monday at 5, a week from today, to City Hall, You can speak during the oral communication session for up to half an hour. I mean, they really have a long oral communication session, so it might be useful. You can get a copy of their agenda at their office, or you can give them a call. They will even send you a copy if you want. And again, the number to call for the Civilian Police Review Board for information is 429-3262. And let's see. On that board, every council member appoints a member. I think that, again, the latest problem is they're not making even the complaints that they have processed public for the public to know. I mean, it's completely... The process right now is the Internal Affairs Department of the Police Department, which has been completely inadequate in doing anything in the past, even though they're a part of the police department. They act like they're a little independent group, but I've never been aware of any significant discipline taken against any officer. No doubt there has been some discipline somewhere along the line, I hope. But, you know, the former Sergeant Reedy, who became lieutenant and then masterminded the town clock beating of people back at New Year's Eve 1993-94, that led to a riot downtown, the breaking of windows, and also probably resulted to some extent in the downtown ordinances that terrorized the merchants into passing these crazy laws. And some people think that the police have a significant hand in creating these laws, but I don't think so particularly. I mean, I'm not persuaded of that, but some think that. The same lieutenant who masterminded that, I'm not aware she got disciplined. I'm not aware that a black mark was put in her record. I mean, I like Sergeant Reedy, you're now lieutenant. She's married, so she has another name. But, you know, you can't do this kind of shit. I mean, you can't wade into a crowd as they did and start shoving around and hitting people on the wrists with batons, create a riot, disappear from the downtown for half an hour while the rioters take out windows, and then come back and use that as an excuse for justifying a police state. And that's what they did. I mean, it's amazing. That was the 1993-94 town clock New Year's Eve action. And, of course, the next New Year's Eve was very nice. I mean, we had a great first night, although the police quietly removed certain people from the mall and did some fancy arrests behind the scenes that weren't so hot. But... they didn't make the same mistake of wading into a crowd and bludgeoning people an hour before the curfew time. Town clock has a curfew of 1 o'clock, thanks to Jane Yokoyama and our wonderful city council. She was mayor at the time. And what happened on New Year's 93-94 is the police came in 50 minutes before the curfew and preemptively started, you know, shoving people around, telling them all to leave. Not a good idea to do on New Year's Eve, I'll tell you. And it created a riot. So, you know, we may be having a famous poet on our show next Friday. I got a call from him. That's Bert Glick. I don't know if you've ever heard of Bert Glick. He's a guy who was around during the 70s a lot, and he's now a playwright, and some of his plays have been produced in Berkeley. He wrote the famous Cookie Aura, and would frequently be found selling his book on the corners of Pacific Avenue. Bert's been around in Berkeley for a while and down here in Santa Cruz, and he's agreed to come on the show and read some poetry next Friday. I'm going to particularly try to get him to focus on street scenes and questions of human rights, which, of course, I'm always trying to get people to do. But I'm really glad that he gave me a call back, and I'm hoping we can do that. I also got a call from Elizabeth Hallett of the Peace House in Ashland, and I mentioned the situation up in Ashland, Oregon, a couple times in a couple of the shows. Ashland, Oregon is experiencing a whole rash of anti-homeless laws, which have just come on and just hit the books. They have a new camping ban, which I got a whole fistful of clippings about. And again, reports directly from young people who were leaving Ashland, driven out of town by police. There was a question of banishment happening. Apparently there's only one or two judges up there, and the one of the judges was getting people to leave town by telling them if he didn't, he would cite them on, he would give them a penalty on a minor infraction and tell them if they didn't leave, if he didn't send them a postcard from Los Angeles in 4 days, they would be arrested on a warrant, which I might point out to is unconstitutional. Again, it's from a police state tactics where the judge substitutes his prejudice, his emotion, his discretion for the law, which is supposed to be protecting the rights of everyone. So I'm hoping to do next show an update on what's happening in Ashland. And anybody who's interested in these issues between times should give me a call at 423-HUFF. That's 423-4833. HUFF is an acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, as I said earlier in the show. Some people are proceeding on their own to try to press for basic rights, and that's always been the case, and I'm glad of it. An activist who does not wish to be named left a long report on the phone for me this week in which he talked about trying to make sure that people can walk into the Winter Armory shelter from their jobs or from evening meetings. He was having trouble doing this because the armory, apparently the people who run the armory aren't allowing walk-ups up there, and there were difficulties arising from people who needed to come in late. In the winter, for many, as you probably know, the state armories are open to homeless use, and about 100 or 200 people can use them, and do in the cold months. They supplement and to some extent supplant the churches during that period of time. People come into the armory and sleep there at night on the floor with a blanket, and sometimes I think it's a mat. I'm not sure. And then very early in the morning, extremely early, they have to get up, even if it's the rain, stand outside, wait to be bussed down from the armory, which is up in De La Vega Park, kind of way out of the way. And this guy, who was a worker, was concerned that he did his job, and he had to get up to the armory, and they wouldn't let him in, and they were giving him trouble, and he wanted to see this policy changed. He talked to Judy Schwartz, who talked to the city, who oversees the Interfaith Satellite Shelter contract with the armory. And Schwartz found there was nothing that would prohibit a homeless person from walking in late at night, but that's not what Sergeant McIntyre said when he got back to McIntyre. And so there was controversy going on there. And the most recent thing I heard about this whole business is securing the armory for the next winter. Apparently Paul Merceau, who's heads the executive director, I believe it's the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, or maybe it's the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, or maybe it's both, I'm not sure which, but certainly something in that general vicinity, has been down in Santa Barbara meeting with armory mucky mucks to try to press for basic rights and procedural changes that will help those using the armory winter shelter services. And I'll give you a report on that when I get more information about it. And I really want to thank John Stewart for calling in and making this not simply complete Robert Norris production. Other things I was going to bring up were stuff around the new horrible Supreme Court decision regarding drug use, which you may have read about.
Golden smile and shiny hair.
Santa Cruz, California. How are you folks doing this morning? How about some live music? The virus begins, and there's no government like no government.
So
Thank you. Coochie, coochie.